El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey, welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I used to write a bunch of weekly columns for a bunch of internet places, and I would use those columns to put forth all sorts of crazy opinions. Then I'd come on this show to defend those opinions. But now I don't really do any of that shit. I just do this show. Joining me today, she has a podcast on the Unpops Network all to her own called Take a Walk. And God damn it, you should listen to it sometime. She's also a really good friend of mine. She's a really funny comic. We're always so happy to have her here. Ladies and gentlemen, Vanessa Gritton. Also joining me, he has an announcement for you. Hint, hint, he's also the architect of the Fastball at Chet's campaign. He's my co-host on the Least Anticipated Podcast of the Week. Ladies and gentlemen, he's super duper funny, Chet Wild. It's going to be a great show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Unpopular Opinion.
I am popular.
Hello.
Why is everyone talking like this?
I don't know.
The Muppets were in town.
We're really stimulated. We're very stimulated.
I missed children. I missed it, yeah.
It's a really good show.
I wish
I had the money to go, but I just couldn't.
I didn't have the money to go to that.
Manamana.
Bohemian Rhapsody. That's great.
Manamana.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's 9/11 today.
Woo!
Yeah! We are recording on 9/11, and we're recording about 9/11. Vanessa, what was that look you just gave the camera? What was that look you just gave the camera? Like you didn't approve of me and Jeff's celebratory whoops about 9/11.
Tragedy plus time. It's been enough time.
Equals celebration.
When it happened, you're like, oh, maybe in 30 years this will be funny. And then you're like, in 4 years.
You don't know if I winked with my left eye or not.
You know, in 2 years.
Left eye.
In 2 years, we can fuck 9/11.
Rest in peace, left eye. Oh, that's right. Yeah, right?
I got one of them countdowns like the Olsen twins.
Oh, yeah. That's gross. Yeah, I should introduce the guests first for people who aren't watching the live stream. That voice you just heard was
because I enjoy you,
Jeff May. Oh, sick burn. It's a sick burn.
Can I get a salve for that burn?
Yes. That was Vanessa Gritton who said she's Jeff May.
That's a thing. That's my only Jeff impression.
That was a pretty good Jeff. Jeff, you seem like you're not into it.
I kind of missed it, I guess. She said that's a thing. I don't get it.
Apparently, the rest of the room got it.
I don't get that. What is that?
I don't get it. She just said a thing. That's a thing.
Chet Wild's here.
Hello.
Sorry.
How's it going, Chet?
Good. I'm not doing any impressions.
That's a thing.
Jeff, why you gotta be mean to me? I thought
that could
made
also
up.
Be me today because I bit my tongue. I bit the fuck out of my tongue and I've had a lisp all day.
Did you say you thought we made up after you've been roasting me passively this entire time we've been here?
But you're coming to my house. You're part of the Fastball show. You're hosting it. Even though you're hosting it, I think two people bought you tickets to get you in the door.
Yeah. That's how many people hate you.
Yeah, someone bought me a ticket. Or they bought Jeff a ticket and Jeff was like, I don't need it.
I'm on the flyer, man.
Yeah. Like, and they were like, use it for Adam or Raquel. Like,
we're all involved with
if I'm not invited, I'll just like
it's 4/5 of the stand up lineup right here. Minus Connor.
Minus Connor McSpads.
Yeah. You're letting him in your place?
Yeah.
It's a risky proposition. Yeah.
See, everyone has that opinion of Connor. I met Connor when he's like 6 months into stand-up, and I just moved here. I just thought he's the sweetest kid. I'm like, you're going to be super funny.
That's because he was...
Things have changed.
He was 15 when you met him.
Yeah.
But Fastball at Chet's is happening September 18th, everybody.
Yeah, my own 9/11.
Yeah.
I mean, we're 1 week away from if Fastball's we're like, I can do
away.
It Monday the 11th.
1 week away.
9/11.
This is exciting, huh?
I was trying to get Harvey Danger to open up because it's a Hurricane Harvey benefit. I thought,
Jesus
Christ. Come on, Chet. Oh,
too much show. It's very exciting.
It is very exciting.
I'm excited.
Well, gee, really?
I mean, it's all
What's your excited to terrified percentage?
I'm not terrified. It's just a lot of people are like, all your hard work paid off. I'm like, no. The next 10 days is all the hard work. Because I don't want to just be a living room show. I want to be like a well-captured, well-documented, like a good end product, a piece of content we have to put out. And we put together that video in 48 hours.
I was going to say the meanest joke.
Fuck off, Jeff.
I did it.
Whoa.
Wow.
Jeff,
wow.
I can be mean. You were in the video. I thought you were, well, you said a nice thing.
And that's because I'm a great person.
You're not a great person sometimes.
But yeah. You got Fastball at Chet's to happen. Congratulations. Thanks. You had to fit a Harvey pun into your experience. That's fine.
That voice you hear is Jeff May.
Wouldn't be Chet.
That's Jeff May talking. He's here.
Hey.
Danger's going to play in the backyard. There's going to be a lot of good
things. I beat the shit out of Danger there.
Is there anything else you want to add about Fastball at Chet's?
No, just check. Before we watch the video on the Unpops page and check out the Indiegogo campaign. You can like sign prints by us and t-shirts and attend the concert or watch the live stream or watch Gone Fishing at my house. There's one more of those to be claimed.
Yeah, that's a thing.
I didn't think anyone, I put that up as a bit. And the first thing, before anyone donated anyone else, somebody bought the Gone Fishing at my house. Four of the five are gone.
God. It's amazing how far irony will take you through this whole thing.
I was telling Adam, if one more goes, we'll do Hook. You can people can watch Hook.
Oh, can
three
I?
Of us, yeah. I mean, I think that people would be excited to.
You remember watch I said Hook no to Hook and Gone Fishing last time.
I know, but maybe if we just watched one of them, you'd be on board.
Nah, could do John Wick.
John Wick 2, the superior John Wick.
It is the better John Wick.
Thank you. It is not the better John Wick.
I haven't seen it yet.
We've already clearly broken up into teams.
Let's watch a 9/11 movie.
We should. What makes John Wick 2 better than John Wick 1?
I just enjoyed it more. It felt like the later.
You know, the hardest part of this show for me is the first few minutes.
I like not getting cut off on that.
Because I spend all that time asking everyone else what's going on in their life.
And 9/11.
When all I really want to do is talk about 9/11. That's why we call this segment This Week in Me, because I did 9/11. And it's about to get almost as intense as 9/11.
A little more, maybe?
A little more. I really shred this part.
I'm going to buy a flag because I'm so influenced by this.
The people watching live stream at home can vouch for the fact that I play this myself. On guitar. Yep. I get it's weird how I get quieter as it fades out.
Yeah. Well, I mean it's
all a technique I picked
up. Yeah. You'll notice I'm the only person who wore America First clothing.
Here. That's a good point. Yeah.
I wore America First clothing. It's food.
I wore a Rocco shirt because I'm pro Australia.
I'm wearing a Coat Hanger shirt because they're one of my favorite bands. Shout out to the Coat Hangers.
I love the Coat Hangers.
They're so good.
You're so good.
You're so good, idiot. Fucking idiot.
Cut it out.
Anyway, we're talking about 9/11. Specifically, we're talking about people who lie about 9/11.
9/11 liars, which is way different than 9/11 truthers.
It is very different than 9/11 truthers. If you want to hear about that, listen to this week's episode of Conspiracy the Show with me and Connor McSpadden, which is about the least and most believable conspiracy theories about 9/11. So there's a couple that aren't that far out there.
And also tune into the least anticipated podcast to see the least anticipated 9/11s of the week.
Yeah, it's all this week's least anticipated was all 9/11 videos and me and Chet critiquing.
Well, actually, last week we did cover 9/11 quite a bit.
We did, yeah.
In anticipation of 9/11, we cover a week in advance.
Because the TVs, the TV networks.
Who doesn't
want
to see Charlie Sheen and Whoopi Goldberg in a 9/11 movie?
They're in a 9/11 movie.
I'd like to see Charlie Sheen in a 9/11.
Ew. I, honest to God, hand over my heart, did not think he was still alive until you just mentioned it.
You thought Charlie Sheen died?
He should be dead.
Because of the AIDS?
He must have the baby AIDS.
He's got the baby AIDS.
I just assumed he's been dead.
Well, I mean, yeah, why not?
Okay, but he's not. I mean, he's.
I mean, cool. He's I'm just saying. I honestly
maybe she's a
died.
Charlie Sheen truther. And he actually is.
He's in theaters this week.
I believe
week.
You that he's alive. I just thought he died.
Sure. I feel like you're still not convinced.
Charlie Sheen's alive.
Right. So, why do people lie about 9/11?
Because it's cool.
Why do people lie about anything?
The same reason so many people in Los Angeles history pretend to be the last person to have seen the Black Dahlia alive, or why people claim to have known someone from Columbine. They want to be attached to an event that's bigger than themselves.
Yeah.
That's like how I like to tell people how I went to a Limp Bizkit concert.
in that
like 96.
And it didn't happen?
Probably oversharing my address here, but I live so close to the Black Dahlia that when I sit in my backyard and go into Facebook, it asks me if I want to check into the Black Dahlia.
Nice.
Yeah. No, that's not that's not giving up your address at all. No one would be able to find that.
You come, Black Dahlia happens.
Black Dahlia just cut through that house over the fence.
Fastball at Dahlia's.
Black Dahlia at Chet's.
Fast doll.
Why's it got to be black, Adam?
Got nothing. What?
Because I
because of your neighborhood.
Oh, there's that.
But yeah, there's many reasons for lying. One of the bigger reasons whenever people are like, I almost got on that plane that day, or I missed that plane that day, or they want to be like a tangent but not a full lie is because they like being close enough to that event and trying to get like a little bit of familiarity with
someone. Look when someone dies.
Make it about them.
Look when anybody dies and people are like, you know, I met Robin Williams during a set list at Nerd Melt.
Yeah.
And it's just like, all right, okay, fine.
We do know, isn't it? Keith Carey, though, that was actually going to be on one of the planes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time he's told me that, he was like, I was supposed to be on one of the 9/11 planes. Every time I'm like, yeah, I think you should have been on one of the 9/11
planes. Yeah, you were. You should have been there. Yeah. Well, Seth MacFarlane was supposed to be on one.
Yeah, there's Michael a few Jackson, different people.
I think.
Michael Jackson?
Yeah, I heard that one.
Doesn't he have a
Michael Jackson's private? Not flying commercial.
It's one of the things I heard.
It's on Air Force One.
That doesn't sound right.
I always loved, my favorite was when Mark Wahlberg was like, if I was on that plane, it would have gone differently. Really, fuckface?
Yeah, fuck him.
Fucking jerk off.
If he was on that plane, he would have just like blinded the wrong person.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would have increased the 9/11 score on Rotten Tomatoes?
Huh? I didn't hear what you said. Oh, it would have, okay, yeah. I got you.
But yeah.
Like a joke hit.
Jesus.
That punchline was the second plane coming in. You're like, ah.
Yeah, there were... I read an article. Thanks to Ashley Bess for doing the research for this.
Shout out to Ashley Bess.
Shout out to Ashley Bess. One of the articles she put in here was from a psychiatrist who worked with patients after 9/11. And she said that there were a lot of people who faked either being there or having family members there. And in the less awful cases, it was just people who needed sympathy or to connect with someone in some way, and they just saw that this was...
It's like a Munchausen by proxy of 9/11.
Yeah, just kind of a way to reach out and get sympathy you don't necessarily deserve, but no one's going to question you too hard and deny it.
Yeah, you're not really going to get pressed. People are like, prove it!
Right. And the other problem, though, is that also opened up the way for a lot of fraud, because the other group of people that were lying about 9/11 were people who were trying to get either controlled substances or apply for death benefits.
Get that paper.
Get that cheddar.
And get some strange.
What the fuck? Everything everything went off at
I'm
once?
I'm not the only dingus.
I hit it so hard, everything went off at once. There we go. Fucking pounded it. Beat that soundboard with a bat. Anyway, so yeah, there were two different people. And in psychiatry, they call this pathological lying. And they separate it into two different camps, which is conscious and unconscious motivation. And in both, the patients are aware that they're lying, but the distinction is what is their motivation. Conscious lying is also known as con man behavior, and it's sometimes related to antisocial personality disorder.
And being awesome.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty awesome.
I have a dope girlfriend. She lives in Canada. You've never met her. My parents are in the CIA. That kind of shit.
And they all died in 9/11.
And one example of that, which we'll talk about soon, is Steve Ranazzisi. Shout out to the Mean Boys podcast.
Woo! Yeah, that's great.
He is on the 9/11 episode of the Mean Boys podcast.
Bless
well
them.
Done.
Yeah.
They maneuvered that really well.
I feel like they didn't, yeah. Maneuvered.
But they didn't tell him.
I wonder if they asked him about it. Because if not, okay, why not?
Yeah, I feel like he's probably covered it enough.
Yeah, but they're the mean. They're the mean boys.
Oh, hey, oh,
hey, oh, what are you,
hey,
some kind of 9/11
victim or something? Oh,
but Steve Ranazzisi falls into the conscious lying category because he used his lie to get attention.
Yeah, to improve his narrative.
Yeah,
right.
Like that's the thing. It adds a level of romance and intrigue to your. I switched career. Like when I say I switched careers, I'm like, well, I got I got bored and I left.
Well, and because people can relate to that breaking point.
Yeah, it's a lot different though. Like if there was a crazy tragedy in my life that caused me to move to LA and get into stand up, you know. But it's like I hated it.
I think also in the case of Steve is that it wasn't a one-time lie for a specific, like somebody that he was talking to or a specific event. It was something that was over and over again, and it was part of his narrative and his persona and his story, and it was something that he would bring up in interviews. It wasn't a one-time thing. It was conscious.
It was only when he was asked, though, right?
Yeah, like, but
he
how wasn't do you get asked about it without first bringing it up?
Well, because I remember...
I ask everyone if they were in the towers on 9/11.
I say, where were you when they built the ladder to heaven?
I say, which tower were you in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember which tower you were in when 9/11 happened?
You should never forget which tower you're in.
I don't know why you would. Yeah, so there's two different types of people who lie about 9/11. Steve Ranazzisi is one of them. We'll talk about another woman in a little bit also who falls into the other category, which is unconsciously motivated liars.
Crazy bitch!
Right? These are people that... People who pretend they're suffering from fake disorders for sympathy, like people with Munchausen syndrome or Munchausen by proxy. It's kind of that same thing. And there's a really famous case about a woman who lied about being in the Twin Towers.
Yeah, the woman that wasn't
on 9/11. Tanya Head is what she called herself.
That documentary is insane.
It is so fucking good.
It is. It's phenomenally done, but it has. It's. I think maybe the creepiest part about it is that she wasn't doing it for money and that it became so deeply elaborate.
Right.
For so long.
Right. And that's one of the things we'll talk about. Like, that's one of the conflicts people have with her is she lied, but she didn't do it for financial gain.
She's
she
like
didn't steal any money from
tragedy.
Anyone. Yeah. She was just like, she did a lot of good. She just also happened to lie about having been present. But one of the other things that happened a lot after 9/11 were fake death claims. And one of the most famous cases, this was the first couple that was charged with 9/11 related fraud. Their names were Charles and Cindy Gavitt.
And that was that was a brutal sentence.
It's a brutal sentence, but...
Got to make an example.
I mean, I get it, but like that precedent is a little bit like, it seems almost like cruel and unusual that amount for what that was.
But it was an unprecedented tragedy. So there won't ever be like don't fucking steal from 9/11 victims.
I
That's
agree,
disgusting.
But it's like you can't create new levels of fraud
right.
punishment. Just
but they
because
had to see that coming.
Yeah.
I would imagine. Especially
10 years, though. That's like kind of nuts.
Were they? Oh, yeah, they were
sentenced. 10 years.
But they served 4.5.
Well, yeah, but that's every sentence is like that for the most part.
Yeah, they don't deny that they were guilty, but they do feel that their sentence was a little extreme.
Agreed.
At the time, they had two children and were living in an upper middle class neighborhood in Concord, Georgia. Gavitt claimed his wife had an appointment at the World Trade Center on 9/11 and never came home. He then filed an insurance claim for $200,000 with Minnesota Life Insurance and followed up with a phone call on October 2nd. He gave the insurance company his wife's appointment book and an affidavit, this is classy, from his 14-year-old daughter as evidence proving that their mother died on 9/11.
Well, 14-year-old girls never lie.
Come on, Jeff. Jesus Christ.
Is it possible that he didn't tell his daughter and the daughter really thought the mom was dead?
No, everyone knew that the mom was alive. There was what happened is an insurance investigator noticed that no obituary was ever published for this woman. So he called the local sheriff's office and the sheriff had actually had Thanksgiving dinner with this couple. Very recently, since that phone call.
And the teenage daughter's probably new car.
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah, what do you promise your kid?
Help us convince people mommy is dead, and we'll get you a nice Vespa.
If that, she better do what she's told. She's a Southern daughter.
That's a good point. Yeah,
come on. She just does what she's told.
I mean, it probably was kind of that.
Yeah,
I do declare. My mother perished in the second tower.
Well, we'll give you a wonderful debutante's ball if you come on out and say your mother died in the old 9/11.
I wonder if any married couples did that, or like faked one of the person's death, like the husband faked the wife's death and did the insurance claim, but then just killed his wife. That seems plausible.
Shit, that would have been dope as fuck.
Because then no one's going to look for your wife.
Yeah, that's not a bad plan at all. Because that you just file that claim.
Yeah, my wife died in 9/11, and then also she was found in Georgia with her throat slit.
I don't get it. That first really tower like stabbed her 8 times.
Just do it with a box cutter. You know?
Just take the body to the World Trade Center, toss it on the rubble.
That one seems pretty fresh.
Yeah. No, I've seen that. That was here the whole time.
Whole time.
Steve Buscemi found it.
Yeah, remember Steve Buscemi? He was at... He's probably got cancer now.
He was. You know who else was Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, because he was one of the first like the guys that went to help out, and like all the people found out who he was. He was just like serving food to first
responders. Yeah, they had him say. Like, they just they kept had him do talk. Batman over the loudspeakers.
Yeah, they kept making him talk like Batman. He's like, "Hey, this is 9/11. Like, you sure? You sure?
I mean,
sure
I feel like after 9/11,
I'm sorry,
you deserve
I didn't
Batman.
Stop this.
Different Batman.
I'm sorry, I didn't stop this.
It's not Christian Bale. No.
I'm sorry I didn't stop
you. I'm so sorry. I didn't stop you.
What?
9/11 is my fault.
That's why I can't enjoy. I have to have subtitles to watch Batman. I fully did not enjoy it.
Oh, because of the Dark Knight trilogy?
Yeah,
yeah, that like voice it. Is awesome.
Batman for you was like an Oasis documentary for me.
That the Batman voice is my 9/11.
Why do you got to do that, Chet? Why does it got to be? Why does Oasis have to come up?
Seemed like a.
I don't understand.
It's just a cavalcade of stupid voices.
I like Vanessa.
I don't, interestingly enough. So
you do.
Nah.
You're friends.
Let's talk about Stephen D. Laskowski.
Stephen D.
This is another type of person that filed death claims on 9/11. And this is he is one of those people who filed a claim for someone who wasn't even dead.
What a piece of shit.
He submitted a claim to the Victims Compensation Fund stating his wife was killed in the 9/11 attacks and that she left him behind with a son and triplets.
That's a weird one to open with, was triplets.
Huey, Dewey, yeah. And Louie. They were never the
like
same.
Like, the odds are not good. Like, that proof. And that's how they kind of, he got sentenced to like.
What if he just kept dressing up the same kid in 3 different outfits when they came to investigate? Like a Mrs. Doubtfire situation.
Well, you know what's funny too is like part of his thing is like you have to get put on antipsychotics. So that's like.
Well, yeah,
kind
this
of a
guy.
Big deal. Like this guy's just fucking nuts.
This guy was actually found not guilty by reason of insanity because his wife had divorced him years earlier and she was living happily in Florida, or as happily as one can live
in
Florida.
Yeah, you don't live happily in Florida.
And they had 0 children. No kids. This guy was just
a fucking loon.
He was just nuts. And he filed for 9/11 benefits.
That is crazy, like when you think about what's going like that, the sort of what would that be? Not dissociative identity, but what would that
delusions.
Yeah, delusional. It would be like a paranoid schizophrenia.
A lot of
it would be a level
issues.
Of schizophrenia then, right?
Yeah, I would think
delusions
so.
Tend to go heavily.
It can either come
schizophrenia.
With schizophrenia, yeah, or it can come with bipolar type 1 when you're having aggressive delusions of grandeur.
A psychiatric exam revealed that he was psychotic and delusional. If you can believe that.
I believe it.
I don't believe anything that guy says.
I choose to believe what I want to believe.
I don't believe anything about 9/11.
I want to believe.
Holograms.
I don't even believe it happened on September 11th.
Yeah. It was September 10th, if I recall
Thank
correctly.
You. Yeah.
Right?
9/11 just sounds better because 9/11.
Did we do the thing where we do the where were you?
No, Jeff tried.
I tried and then.
All right. Where were you, Jeff?
Oh,
I was in one of my education classes in college, and they were like, "We were just told that the World Trade Center is being attacked, and you need to go home."
Contact you got families. Sent home?
Yeah, it was a teaching school. They were really big on like, "We're pretty liberal. Get out of here." Go watch it on TV. I got home. Well, I went to my friend's apartment, and as we turned on the TV, it's when the second tower fell.
Yeah.
I really made it, you know, just
in time. Yeah. I was at work, And I went on break just as the first tower fell.
To check and see.
Yeah, where was Adam when the first tower fell?
I went in the break room, looked up at the TV, and the fucking tower was collapsing. I was like, oh, this is bad.
Nice.
And then we all got to go home.
Right?
Yeah.
Did you not get to go home?
No, and it happened second period in the morning.
What grade are you in?
I was a senior.
Oh, you were in high school. Yeah, they're not going to let kids go home in a situation like that. They want to keep them in a central location.
So, but what was shitty, like, the history teacher is like, we're going to watch TV footage. But I remember I had, like, the math teacher at the end of the day. He's like, no, we're just going to do our lesson. And everyone's like, no, we need to watch the thing.
That was important. A lot of people in education thought at the time that it was important to continue living life and moving forward through things.
It wasn't handled well at my school.
No, but it was.
No?
No.
I'm talking the day of.
Yes, yeah. I know.
And, like, I understand. I fully understand that because especially when it comes to kids, when they see adults panicking, it's another level of fear that they don't really know yet. They didn't handle it that way at my school because I was in the fourth grade. I had just woken up, and both of my parents were in the room, and they were...
Oh, yeah, that was like 6:50 in the morning for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I had to wake up really early to go to school because I live far away. And my parents were sitting in my bed. They were watching the TV because I had like the better TV at the time. And so my entire family packed in there. So I was like just waking up to my family sitting around the TV watching this shit happen. And I'm getting ready for school and they're having a conversation as to whether or not I should still go. I end up getting to school. We start talking about what's happening. Our teacher's trying to like kind of explain it to us. And then she bursts into tears, and then one girl just runs in crying, and she's like, my cousin works there.
Liar.
Actually, like, for sure, her cousin died in the towers.
Lies.
And so then
what'd she do with that money?
All of the kids burst into tears and just start screaming, and the teachers don't know what to do, so they call it a half day and had her parents pick us up back up, like, immediately.
That does not sound like the best way to handle it.
Nope.
No, that doesn't sound like a
because
a
I fully wandered out of the classroom.
Actually handled it. Mm. We were that was like when I was doing my practicum work too. So like we were interacting with the high school teachers at the time, and they were like, "You need to set a level of normalcy in this too, because a lot of stuff is sort of some kids shouldn't be forced to watch certain, like you want to like be like we need to experience this history, but for some people it's too much, and school is relatively speaking considered a safe zone for a lot of people, and so it was important during 9/11 to not just like a lot of people were trying to pull their kids out of schools, and schools were like, fucking, this is where your kid should be right now.
Like, my dad actually pulled me out the week after. Like, he tried.
Wow, that's fucking late.
Well, no, because he...
Was it traffic?
I feel like people might have heard this before, but my dad's, like, almost a doomsday prepper. And he pulled this out for, like, a week afterwards because he was seriously considering moving us back to Central America. Because he went from, like,
no danger there. No.
Fast. And then my mom was like, absolutely not. Vanessa will surely die or be sold off as a prostitute. We're going home.
Voice like that's going to be ransomed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ransomed.
This is an auction off virginity voice.
Yeah. I like how casual we were about that. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I would do if I was down there.
Yeah.
Auction off the virginity, probably.
I'm Guadam all in.
Why?
That's fair. How are you treating that mic over there, Gritton?
Vanessa gets electrocuted spitting on the microphone.
It's like her 9/11.
Nah.
But here's the thing. Like, I went to school in...
Nah!
I went to school in rural Maine, and my roommate was the biggest fucking hick. And the first thing he did was fucking run to Walmart and buy a .22.
Oh, good.
And I was like, fuck you. This is not going into our apartment. I was like, it's not. I was like, get this the fuck out of here. And he was just like, what? I'm like, you're gonna shoot yourself. Like, there's no... And he's like, I'll put a lock on it. I'm like, put a lock on it and put it in your fucking car. I was like, it's not happening. And then I was like, what happens if a fucking plane gets diverted to crash on the thriving metropolis of Farmington, Maine? And you pull out your .22 heroically, shoot the nose cone of the plane, and it has to divert? Like, there's no reason to have a fucking... I was like, that's first and foremost, that's only a gun you accidentally shoot. Nobody's ever done anything with a .22 but accidentally shoot themselves. And he fucking went and bought a gun. Like, that was like the hysteria at the time. I'm like, let's just get a flag.
Yeah.
Get a flag. That's fine. The flag hysteria is all well and good.
Yeah, I remember there was a 9/11. There was like a not long after 9/11, there was some DMX documentary on MTV, and he was somewhere in New York when 9/11 happened. And there was this clip of him driving through some shithole borough in New York where it's like it was all white people. And it's just DMX waving a fucking American flag
That's
out
fucking
the window.
DMX right there.
It was great. Like, I was that
wave my flag.
That would have immediately cheered me up after 9/11.
Damn right.
Seeing DMX. So, one of the other things, let's talk about some fake death claims.
Ex-salutin' do ya.
What?
I don't know. I was trying to go somewhere with it, and then I bailed halfway through.
Oh, my God.
Pulling that parachute. Remember, okay, by the way, and I know we're going to go to this other thing, but can we talk? I want to talk about something post 9/11. The fucking people that were selling office parachutes. Do you remember those fucking things?
Oh, that's
no.
There was a huge thing after 9/11 that were like, in these trying times, they were selling like survival kits and they were fucking parachutes for businessmen
that worked
in skyscrapers.
Only for men, though, right?
Well, yeah, it's not a business one. Yeah. Look at the skirts. It's all improper.
Oh, yeah, you float down.
Yeah,
right.
Come down like Princess Peach in Mario 2. But like, I remember that as being a very specific thing where they were talking about like the ridiculousness of post 9/11 America and like the things that people were investing in.
The rollout window ladders.
Yeah, like all the shit that people were just like.
My dad bought a rollout window ladder and we never use it for an emergency. I would just use it to go sneak out and make out with people.
Nice.
That's what you do. Yeah.
That is an emergency though.
That's a post 9/11 world right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, you never know when you're going to have
Muslims.
Emergency. Oh, right.
Out's way better when you climb down a ladder first.
That's true. Both of those things are true. What Chet said and that Vanessa's a Muslim.
What? No.
Well,
it's like you are
right, but it's
I don't
not
think so.
Like
okay.
I don't know why they're so.
She's a Guata Muslim.
First of all, I am a watermelon.
Watermelon.
And second of all, I feel like I have to clarify whenever people are joking, like Vanessa's a Muslim, Vanessa's blah, because I'm straight up getting emails from people where it's like, "Would you like to join our ladies' networking group for X thing?" And I'm like,
oh.
"No, it's happening so once a day. I have to have a conversation."
You're getting misracialed. Is that what it is?
Misprofiled.
There it is.
Yeah. Stop it, everybody.
That's bullshit.
Chet, you seem tired.
Very tired.
I think we're all fucking tired.
Good.
There's also
good.
Four of us, and I listened to Jeff's lecture up front. I don't want to step on anyone's words. So.
It wasn't a lecture. I was just...
What happened?
When I said four is a lot harder to keep control of than
when
three.
When he said, Chet, don't talk. Let the
no, it's harder to keep control of when your guests smoke three huge joints with you back to back to back.
I am tired, but it's not for lack of interest in this podcast. It's just I'm sleep deprived.
I'm tired, but I'm pretty sure that's because I started my period 15 minutes ago.
We haven't even... We've been recording for 30 minutes.
Yeah, I know. That's why I got quiet for a second, because I was like trying to listen
to
my body. That's why 15 minutes ago, I just got very quiet, and I was like, is it happening? Is it? Did
I
it
guess
just?
It is.
I'm it's pretty
like,
sure.
It's like her underwear is having its own 9/11 moment.
Am I right?
It's heavy denim. I'll be fine.
Your underwear? Weird.
No, my overalls.
Weird.
What are you, a poster from the 80s of a sexy
lady?
You're
talking about your overalls. Two idiots over here.
Oh, Chet.
You know what else was overall was the sweeping problems of 9/11 America.
Let's talk about some more death claims. One of the articles that we looked at for this podcast was from 2002. It was 12/31/2002, NewYorkTimes.com. Separating Fakes from 9/11 Victims. And it's a really interesting article with the head of the NYPD Special Fraud Squad.
Fraud Squad.
Fraud Squad.
Fraud, fraud Squad.
Woo.
Fraud Squad.
Post 9/11 Fraud Squad.
At the time this article was published, they had arrested 37 people in New York City alone for 9/11 related fraud.
Seems like a slow day in New York City. Oh,
oh, oh, am I right?
That eagle's crying. The 9/11.
Crying for 9/11. And yeah, the NYPD fraud squad handled most of the cases. There were dozens of fake claims submitted after 9/11, ranging from people faking their spouse or loved one's death to receive payments, or just straight up making up people that didn't exist. which that was actually the most common one.
Yep.
Jeez. That would be so, if I was on that fraud squad, I'd be like, all right, well, we're going to put you in this room, turn off these cameras, and I'm going to beat you with a short length of hose because I lost a lot of friends.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem. They, you know, they, if you read this interview, he was like, you have to start sympathetic because you can always go from sympathetic to accusatory. But if you start out accusatory and you're wrong and this claim's legitimate, you can't go sympathetic from there. From there, they're just going to be like, fuck you. You're an asshole.
Yep.
You told me I was lying. And he's,
which we do to cops now regularly.
Right. Yeah, pretty much. But he, you know, he said that was one of the issues they faced is they were never, like, even when they were pretty sure right from the onset that this was fake, they had to treat every single person, at least initially, as if their claims were real. They even gave people money in some cases. There were some cases where he was like, it was just easier to just give them the money. And
ooh.
Yeah, there were a lot of people who got, there were millions of dollars in fraudulent claims that were filed. This is a quote from the head of that fraud department. We've had fictitious victims. We've had victims who've been dead for years. We've had people in prison calling to say that they were dead.
Wait, what?
Ooh, oh, I died in 9/11.
This is a collect call from hell.
My soul is in prison? This is weird. Help. We've had people in prison calling to say that they were dead. And just because we have the case doesn't mean that it's fraud. We even had one or two homeless people to track down. And, he said it. They had to keep their feelings in check, be sympathetic, and console people, even if they thought they were dealing with cases of fraud. But he also added it's very hard to talk to them when you know it's a crock because we were there carrying bodies.
Yeah, that's the other part. Like, you're going through this process of being these first responders, like, You're seeing your friends, you're seeing all these dead people, and then to see somebody come in and try to grift that, like, Jesus Christ.
Fuck them.
Like, yeah, I'd want to have one of those old-timey blackjacks that cops had in the 20s and just fucking bring them.
Now, what about faking your own death without trying to get any insurance claims? Like, what if you just want to go start a new life? Is that bad?
I think that's still illegal, right?
It's illegal because it's fraud.
But do you hold harsh judgments against it? Like if a bomb dropped in L.A. right now and you're like, oh, I could fake my own death and get the fuck out of here and go start a new life.
So hard to do that now.
Because, because 30 years ago before computers and stuff.
It's actually the Patriot Act that did it more than anything. Mm-hmm. Like social media and the Patriot Act.
Yeah.
Well, facial recognition software and all that
stuff. Yeah, right?
Yeah. It's but all.
Like, just trying to get anywhere. Like
China just recently, they had a beer festival somewhere in China and they put facial recognition software at the entrance and arrested like 60 fucking people who just happened to have like warrants or whatever. So now it's just like out in.
Was that software just getting the wrong guy? Because they kind of all.
Jeff!
Fuck girls and races, Jeff.
Jeff! On 9/11, no less.
Kind of have a.
Oh, you mean the. Okay.
All beer drinkers look the same to Jeff.
That's true. There it is. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, they look weak.
So let's go through, we'll just run through quick some of the examples from this article that some of these detectives had to deal with. Namora Young. Detectives say Ms. Young melded the descriptions of two ex-boyfriends to create a fictitious spouse and collected more than $53,000.
Our powers combined.
Their best traits or worst?
I don't know.
He had four arms and four legs. That's such a weird way to even describe it. They could have just been like, she made up a fictitious spouse. But they're very specifically like researched two exes to figure that out. That's bananas.
In Springfield, Illinois, people raised more than $6,400 for a coworker who said his brother died in the collapse, leaving a wife and seven children. No such brother or children existed.
That's Fastball Chet's pledge money right there.
That is. Yeah. You could have had Fastball in your living room.
Yeah.
Maybe even back then for that money.
Possible.
Probably less money.
Oh, you got to take it that route.
I feel like 2001 would have been a higher price point at that point in time.
Yeah, maybe. When did The Way come out?
99. 98, 99.
It would have been a pretty. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that would have been, I think that would have been peak fastball.
Peak fastball. In West
9/11 was their highlight.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd say. Before this. Before fastball chats.
Before fastball chats. Probably the best thing to happen to them after
9/11 was?
Yeah.
Good.
Well, no, fastball at chats number one, number two, 9/11.
Why is 9/11 a good thing for them?
Ask them, I guess.
Do you have a 5-hour energy you can give Chet?
I had to take one on the way here.
Usually it's like, Chet, why are you yelling?
Yeah, you are literally about to fall asleep. It's really interesting.
I had that thought. I was like, they'll give me so much shit if I fall asleep.
Oh,
during
you've
the
I would respect been a couple times
it.
Where you've been very
I'm
close
listening,
to it.
But there's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, this is great.
Just do the old Quincy and then curl up like a dog on the floor and sleep until 2 a.m.
Let's go through a couple more of these. In Westchester, Ohio, a man was convicted of falsely filing a claim on a $100,000 insurance policy in the name of his father, who was in India when the towers fell. In what was that?
That was a period.
Is your tongue walking through mud?
Body noises.
I was trying to clear my throat and it made a fairy.
Let me clear my throat.
It was like a
God damn. Have us, baby. I hope you don't mind. While my voice is gross burn.
There was like a spit bubble trapped under my tongue, so when I like let my tongue down, it made like a gross popping noise.
Yeah, hold on, I gotta clear my throat. Got it. Good.
Sorry.
Oh my God.
Chet, now you do one.
No.
Chet's not even here anymore.
Oh my God.
Let's check the live stream and
I've
see if we can
out
even.
The camera.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah, get in the camera, Chet.
Yeah, no, don't
check out the live stream. What are people
Lean
saying?
Lean in, Chet.
Lean in. Clear your throat.
I don't know. They're
poor
all...
Vanessa. That's what people said.
What?
This is poor Vanessa. That's right.
Probably about my parents.
Who else? In San Diego, a man was indicted for collecting more than $136,000 after claiming that his wife, the mother of 10 children, had died.
Why are they all faking so many kids?
Yeah, is this the idiot that gambled it all away?
She...
Yes.
Fake a kid. One kid.
She's alive. They have one child. And yes, he gambled away all the money at casinos.
He gambled away his 9 other kids.
Can you gamble? Can you place bets on terrorist attacks in Vegas? Is that a thing?
Probably on the dark web.
Yeah, I don't know that.
No, probably not. I mean, well, there's some places that they'll take bets on anything, right?
Like how many school shootings happen this year, plus or minus 300?
Yeah.
It's an easy way to or like an easy way to pad those stats.
When celebrities will die and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's places that'll give you odds on anything, probably.
Betty White, 4 months.
You think?
Giving Betty White 4 months?
Giving Betty White 4 months. I'm giving Stan Lee 9.
I'm giving Betty White.
I'd switch those two.
I'm giving Betty White 4 because
I'll bet you got right now that Stan Lee will die before Betty White.
I bet you
I'm giving Betty White
right
13
now,
months.
Betty White dies before Stan Lee.
I'll put $10 on that right now.
Right now.
I'm giving Betty White 2 days.
Chet's going to kill Betty White.
It's going to overshadow fastball at Chet's.
Betty White's murder at Chet's.
Betty White's death at Chet's.
Betty White.
Who else? Rosaba Wild, 60, of Manhattan, said her father had been at a meeting at Cantor Fitzgerald on the day of the disaster. Police found a copy of his decade-old death certificate from Columbia.
How old was her motherfucking father? She was 60. Who's getting a meeting when they're 85?
But what's crazy about that is she still collected $750,000 from this 9/11 victims fund.
$75,000, not $750,000.
This one is especially awful. Authorities in Missouri charged Cassandra Montgomery with creating a younger brother. She collected more than $63,000 in aid. The name of her make-believe brother, Jeffrey Montgomery, was taken from that of a real-life firefighter in the roll call of the dead that rang through Lower Manhattan during September's first year commemoration of the disaster.
That's a smart call. That's a good move.
It is smart from a fraud.
Initial checks. Those initial checks will be like, yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Chet, what name would you pick if you were going to fraudulently claim that somebody died in 9/11?
Chet Mild.
But that's just a different version of...
Chest Wild.
Your fake name.
What child?
Caitlin accidentally typed fastball at chest while we were talking on Facebook today, and then we just started going back
That's
and forth.
That's why I don't play softball anymore.
Did like fat ball at chests and all that
shit. Right to the sternum.
Barf, barf.
My ball's on chest.
Oh! Oh, shit. People can see we're not really high-fiving. We're live-streaming.
Wait, you high-fived? I high-fived?
That's
true. I wanted to high-five, and no one gave me a high-five.
The high-five that we just tried to do with that bet thing was such a 9-11 itself.
Okay, I didn't know you were going for a handshake. I thought it was a regular high-five, old ham hands.
It was a bet. We were making a bet.
I didn't know there's a specific hand for bets. Do you want to do the spit in our hands and the...
Oh, yuck.
What is it's with official. You and spitting on me?
Jeff is a gross human
That's
being.
Very, yeah. But
this is the third time Jeff spat on
it's me. It's 9-11. All bets are off. It's like America's version of the
Actually,
purge.
We made a bet.
Oh, that's right. Well, that bet's on.
That bet's on.
But all bets otherwise are off.
All faces.
There's got to be people that got away with the fraud, though, off. That like were actually in the towers, and then were like, fuck this.
Yeah, I'm sure there's lots of people that got away with it. Like, there's no way you're going to catch everybody. And some people's claims would have just been so... But I don't know. Like, how would you... Like, I feel like the obituary thing's important. Like, you're going to have to almost bury someone else and say it was that person.
The perfect crime.
Yeah, which that's not... Like, I'd be... That's probably what I would do.
Just cremate, like, 6 pigs and put them in a jar. And then bury that urn and be like, Grandpa.
Why would you kill all those cops?
Whoa.
Oh, Jeff said a nasty.
Stop. What was that one?
That was Howard Stop. Dean.
Oh. There was, oh, I've never heard the cheering.
It's
the end
crowd at the
reason.
End.
And
yeah.
then he goes, ah, ah. Yeah, you can hear it like trail off. He goes, he's like, this is it. This is the one that did it.
I'm going to die now. let's talk about Steve Ranazzisi.
You know, I've been waiting for somebody to say his name so I can stop pretending I knew how to pronounce it.
I mean, there's a, that's got to be how you pronounce it.
Ranazzisi.
Margarita.
That's the spicy liar.
You guys are racist.
So what? He's white.
Against cartoon pizza box chefs.
One of the best jokes I ever heard. I forget who it was, but he was just like, I'm white. But I was like, I'm Italian. We've only been white for like 45 years.
That's true. Yes. Comedian Steve Ranazzisi. If people aren't familiar with this guy, he's on The League. Which I think is just now wrapping up its last season.
He's the average guy. He's like the base.
Yeah.
That. Yeah.
He's a comic. He's funny. Like
yeah,
he's good.
Really good. Yeah, yeah.
He's a good comic. He's got a special called Breaking Dad, which was supposed to come out on Comedy Central last year.
On 9/11.
Right around. It was actually, I believe, right around 9/11. And his special, the news broke right before his special came out that he had for years been lying about being in the World Trade Center on 9/11. He said he was working at Merrill Lynch's office on the 54th floor of the South Tower when the first plane struck the North Tower. This is a quote from 2009. I was there, and then the first tower got hit, and we were like jostled all over the place. He fled to the street just minutes before another plane slammed into the building, he said, and decided that very day that life was too precious to waste opportunities, so he abandoned his New York desk job to pursue a career as an entertainer in L.A. He would later claim, quote, I still have dreams of, like, you know, those falling dreams, he told an interviewer.
See, now here's the thing. Like, would you make that lie up if it guaranteed you that level of a career?
No.
No? All those residuals from...
Steve Ranazzisi?
He's
been on one TV show.
It's gone, what, 8 seasons?
I would tell that lie for, like, Kevin Corrigan's career. Or anybody who's been in more than one show.
I would tell that lie to be stabbed... No, fuck.
I wouldn't tell that lie to be the most mild person in the league.
I'd tell that lie to get fastball to play a concert in my.
Why you got?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to get a career that way. Like that would feel cheap to
well,
me.
Well, I guess he already had it, but it, I don't know. It's
no, he
like,
didn't really have. Well,
yeah, 2009. The league was on then.
Yeah, but I mean, he started telling this story almost as soon as he moved to L.A. Like I'm assuming everyone. He probably got out here and was like, "Hey guys, I was at 9/11.
I saw him workshop book that story at multiple mics." Mm-hmm.
The weird part about that is his first album is all about the stories. It's like he's a storytelling comic.
Yeah, the
now.
Thing about his girlfriend and the sandwich and
the whole thing about the paying the homeless guy to dump the water. And
it's
the,
all so
and
great.
It's all, now, but you hear it and you're just like, oh, that's also definitely a lie. Sure. Which comics oftentimes do
you can lie and
stories.
Exaggerate truths. In terms of comedy, that's fine. In terms of where you were on 9/11,
but when also
okay.
it comes to telling the stories of your origin stories, I feel like those have to be more sacredly true. It's you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a, like, I would, like, how would he expect he was never going to get
called
on that? Like, the bigger he got, someone was going to be able
because
to verify
this shit.
Because
he's clearly done shit like that before, and he's never faced a consequence for it.
Yeah,
because when you get
true.
To that level, it's because you've been doing it for a long time, and you've been pushing it a little bit more and a little bit more, and nobody's ever called you on it. And you start getting those feelings of
Trump.
Grandiose and delusion where you're just like, I can fucking lie about anything now. So clearly, this isn't the only one. He's been doing this for a while. He's been trained in it. He hasn't faced a consequence
Gotta
for it.
Gotta chase the lie high.
Now, here's my question is, what do you think happened when he realized that he had gone out of his league?
Oh!
Yeah!
That was a really great joke,
That's
Jeff.
That's a joke, and it's going on my album.
Yeah! Here's my question. Do you think his wife is, like, kind of in on this lie?
She's complicit.
Because, she had to have known, right?
Because she, like, the story is that he and his wife came home that night and talked about it. And I wonder if he just, like, lied to her and then just for all these years was like, fuck, I can't admit to this now because my wife
What's
thinks
this blonde hair on your shoulder? I carried a blonde woman out of the towers.
Exactly.
She got her lipstick all over my neck.
And then she sucked my dick.
Twice.
She sucked my tower. Okay.
it's all good, baby.
Yeah, I do wonder about that because that like her story is kind of similar, but just that she was working like downtown somewhere.
On the plane.
Yeah, she was flying the plane that
downtown lies will be told when you're downtown.
You guys are the two youngest, and you broke out the oldest song you could have possibly.
Yeah.
You guys are the babies.
Nothing surprising about that.
We're old as shit.
I know.
This is a quote from Steve Ranazzisi. For many years, more than anything, I've wished that with silence, I could somehow erase a story told by an immature young man.
And shut the fuck up.
It only made me more ashamed. How could I tell my children, to be honest, when I hadn't come clean about this?
How old was he?
He was 85 when he said that. That's why I did that voice.
No, how old was he when he first started telling a lie? Because I want to know what the fuck he thinks is immature young man age.
Yeah, he was actually working for a bank at the time
in
Manhattan.
That's not immature young man age. That's grown ass, you should fucking know better man age.
Yeah.
Immature young man age is I'm 15 years old and I maybe like pretended to get mugged on the way home to like explain why I also have a bunch of like new electronics that I bought with money I was supposed to use.
His
like
wife,
that's immature man age.
Yeah.
He married his wife in 2006, by the way.
But the wife he's married to is the girlfriend he was dating. They moved to L.A. together after 9/11.
He was 24 when 9/11 happened.
Okay. See.
That's not immature man age.
Yeah. How old was I when 9/11 happened? 2001. I would have been.
Because he was born in 77.
I was 9.
Oh, so I would have been 25.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I was 19. I was about to turn 20.
I was
20.
9.
Vanessa was 9. How old were you, Chet?
18. 17.
Gross.
Young, nubile Chet Wild.
Ooh.
Not quite legal.
Welcome to 9/11 After Dark.
Yeah.
We're just waiting for him to turn
18. I just got my braces on.
Right?
That was my 9/11.
So let's talk about the last really famous case about someone who lied about 9/11. Alicia Esteve Head.
A.K.A. Tanya Head.
A.K.A. Tanya Head. This one is really crazy. She didn't defraud anyone of any money. She didn't do this for personal gain. But
I'd say there's some personal.
Well,
social.
Not financial gain.
Yeah.
Yeah, but personal gain, yes. She claimed that she not only was in the World Trade Center when it was hit, but that she was on one of the floors above the first plane. And, like, That's like the rare fucking Pokemon
and she
there.
And rescued by a mysterious man that people had been mentioning. Yeah. That they'd seen.
That was Batman.
And she had a fiance that like loved her and was so romantic, and they had this elaborate backstory, and he died in the towers.
All lies. All of it was lies.
Right down to the very elaborate, very hokey engagement story.
She was in Spain when 9/11 happened. The dude she said was her fiance, or at some times, she went from saying like boyfriend to fiance. I think she even called him her husband at one point. They hadn't even met.
The engagement story that she told about the two of them is the kind of thing a 14-year-old describes. With, where it's just like, he came out on a horse and there was roses yeah. and candles it's and the song was playing.
It's like while you were sleeping. It's just like that.
Yeah, it is kind of like that. Yeah, she also said she was led to safely by Wellis Crowther, the famous man in the red bandana. I don't know if you remember him. But
that's the Red Baron. He picked her up in his old-timey plane that an accidentally
smashed. Oh, the
guy
that makes those toaster pizzas?
Those are good pizzas.
Yeah, that was a damn good pizza.
I fuck with a Red Baron for real.
the Red Baron's a woman now.
Oh, well.
So.
Don't tell me about
with
that
more
one.
So the pizza better cook itself, I guess.
Yikes.
Oh.
I'm surprised you haven't done a out of my head, out of my mind reference with Tanya Head.
See, we talk about this. I don't talk about fastball all the time. People like to say I do.
You talk about
Why do I need to talk about them when they're going to be in my living room a week from tonight?
You talk about it pretty regularly.
Oh,
gosh, she's just going around telling lies about 9/11. Just a real talking head.
All right.
I wanted that validation so bad.
You may find yourself living in a shotgun tower.
You may find yourself.
She also said she woke up in a hospital burn unit 6 days after 9/11. And she became the face of the September 11th survivors movement.
Yep.
She eventually became the head of the World Trade Center Survivors Network.
Wait, did she have burn scars?
No.
At all?
No.
She said she woke up in a burn unit and nobody's
like. She wore
like,
sleeves like all the time.
Yeah. And just said there were none on her face, basically.
I'm going to go pee really quick.
We're like.
He's okay. About to.
I'm not gonna pee. I'm gonna go clean myself up. I think there's a 9/11 down there.
Okay, go pee, Vanessa. Go pee.
I was trying to be cute about it.
And Jeff, like,
you already brought up your period. We know.
I was trying to be cute about it initially.
Go.
Okay.
Go take care of that period before it turns into an exclamation.
What?
What?
Speaking of people that lie about things.
Oh.
Did you just trip on my chair? You okay?
No, I'm walking. No.
Anyway, she became the face of the September 11th survivors movement. She was exposed in 2007. The New York Times was looking for an aspiring profile to accompany its sixth anniversary coverage. Several members of the Survivor Network recommended Head.
Yeah!
Woo! They began doing their normal background checking and found she wasn't even in the U.S. during the attacks.
Ooh, now I find out why she made up a fictional boyfriend.
Oh, right.
I just looked her up on Google. Oh.
Oh, yay. Is she gross? I didn't see. I've seen the documentary, yeah.
She's got a face that would make you fly a plane into a building. Oh.
Oh, that's not nice, Jim.
She was in the burn unit because she got fucking roasted.
Right? She claimed to have gone to Harvard and Stanford and to have been working at the World Trade Center for Merrill Lynch. None of these institutions had any record of her. Her real name turned out to be Alicia Esteve Head. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I've seen the documentary.
Let me see. Yikes.
She came from a wealthy Spanish family, and on 9/11...
She didn't take the stairs when she escaped. Yeah. Much.
She was in graduate school in Barcelona.
Was it a culinary school?
Her account made her one of only 19 survivors who had been at or above the point of impact when the planes hit. Imagine being one of those people.
Wouldn't one of the other 18 people be like, we didn't see her.
Yeah.
Like,
I didn't see her at the snack bar. Just kidding, we did.
A lot of fat shaming on this episode.
Fuck that lady.
Yeah, I mean, fuck her. Yeah, you're right.
I'm just going to roast her for everything.
one of the other stories was that a man gave her his wedding ring on the way out.
I love her.
and said, give it to my wife.
And then she tried putting it on her fingers, but it didn't fit.
Right?
Awful. I'm just doubling down at this point.
A man gave me a bag of onion rings on the way down.
This is a quote from... This is a quote from Alison Crowther, the mother of Wellis Crowther, the man who died rescuing all those people. She never shared those details, and it was nothing we wanted to probe. I felt it was too private and painful for her. That's her explaining why she never really talked about. This woman even at one point said she was going to have part of the clothes she was wearing put on a plaque and mailed to this woman because it was the last thing her son touched.
Yep.
Her son probably died carrying her out if that actually happened. Like that,
yeah,
would
but not from
back.
Like the crashing. Yeah, yeah, it would have been just.
Yeah. And yeah. It
carrying a large sack of flesh.
Died of a heart attack. Yeah, that part is especially fucking awful to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, what a piece of, what a monster.
Yeah.
Sending your fucking JCPenney capris to a woman across the country to be like, your son touched this.
You think it but wasn't Lane Bryant?
Like
come
ham.
On.
No way. They
she can't afford Lane Bryant. It was JCPenney.
You know what? You know what? Here's the thing, though, because we like to say, like, she wasn't after any financial stuff, but fuck that. Like, fame leads to fortune in a lot of people's cases. Her fucking fake ass memoirs, TV appearances, shit like, that shit pays.
And not just that, the kind of assistance that you get with it. Because people are like, she's a 9/11 survivor, and maybe she needs food, maybe she needs housing, maybe she needs support that you would give to somebody that survives that kind of tragedy. It doesn't come with like a physical payout, but it comes with perks. Jeff has a thing.
What's going on, Jeff?
I just had some mean joke that I had going. Say she needed support again.
She needed support.
Like a stronger belt.
Oh!
Yeah, fuck her. Is she dead yet?
I mean, she's...
Based on her recent blood work, she's got about 8 months.
No one really knows where she is or what she's doing.
She can't be hard to find. Hello! Hello!
Oh, man, we have fun here.
It's fine. We're chasing down the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
Let's,
it's stuck in her mouth.
I just want to say the meanest things about this woman because she is the worst person in the world.
I don't know about that.
No, but that's awful because she's...
It's not the president.
But she maneuvered herself into, like, manipulating... Oh, God, it's so gross.
The only maneuver she could fit into.
At their weakest times.
Oh, my God. Should we do comments?
She's fat.
Let's do comments.
Oh, is that what that was all about?
Wow. Yeah, let's do comments.
You know, it's a big world out there.
Just like Tanya.
It's easy to feel like the things you say don't even matter.
They don't.
Our lies.
But I want you to know that's not true. We call this segment Your Voice Matters.
It doesn't.
Where we read your stupid fucking bullshit ass wipe comments from the past few shows. And respond to him personally.
Personally. We did this episode already. These.
Which one?
These ones. We did these. I remember reading these. Yeah, we did. Because the propaganda, I remember we talked about it out loud.
Oh, that's right. Because we already recorded another episode. So we can't even do
it. Let's just pick
a random podcast one.
Just go through the Fastball Chet's announcement.
Let's go through the comments on the Fastball Chat.
Why did I do that? Take a walk ones. You just scrolled past the take a walk ones.
Oh, yeah, take a walk. Where's that?
Go to the Monday show, copyright the Monday show.
No, I think it's down.
Yeah.
These are comments from Take a Walk. 22 comments.
From the episode where we talked about Orange County theme parks and all the weird shit we've seen at them.
This was with Connor McSpadden and Keith Carey, correct?
It was with Connor and Keith. We immediately... Within the first 10 seconds of the episodes, the words Fat Bitch's Wild Death Ride were uttered. So
it's any podcast with Connor and Keith.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Rob Sire says, this show is too goddamn fun.
We were talking about
Calm
theme
down, Rob.
I bit my tongue.
You sure did.
I sure bit the shit out of that guy.
Alex James says, this was hands down one of the funniest things I've ever listened to on this network. Well done, you guys. Okay.
That's enough.
Me and Jeff weren't on it, so let's...
Oh, so see the one where people are mentioning possums?
Andrew Wells says, this was so goddamn good. Also, fuck possums. It's pretty much accepted here in New Zealand that if you see a possum, you go out of your way to end that motherfucker.
I was fascinated by the fact that Keith had multiple stories of being bullied by a possum.
Really?
You don't believe that?
Well, I mean, I believe it. But what was Keith doing to it first?
Breastfeeding it.
We all had multiple possum stories.
I like possums. We'd always like, they'd show up in our doghouse. We'd have a doghouse and then be like, there's a possum in the doghouse. It's hanging out. He's like,
I once followed my mom following a possum with her camera phone that had all of its babies on her back. So she was just crouched down, slowly tiptoeing after this baby possum hissing
at
her.
I'm sure that ended well.
She got a cute video out of it. It hissed at her. She trotted off.
That's fair.
The Fat Baker says, I recently hired a girl at work who had worked at Disney World for 3 years. After 5 months, she still calls every customer a guest. I don't think she'll ever stop. Disney brainwashes them completely.
So that 9/11 faker is working at Disney now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Baking.
Did Disney close on 9/11?
I hope not.
I don't know. Probably. A lot of shit closed.
It's the only time AMC's ever closed ever.
Oh, really?
I used to work at an AMC and they had a similar company culture to Disney where it was just like, this is your life and we never close. And the only time it ever closed was on 9/11 for half a day.
It should have closed on the Dark Knight premiere.
Oh, my. That's good. I don't know, 9/11 was working the Twilight premiere.
Genocide says, I'd listen to Mean Boys, but I already have too many podcasts to listen to.
Smart.
That's fair.
That's smart.
Yeah, that's fair. That's totally fair.
You can get the Mean Men on here. It's the same thing.
Yeah. Hey!
Hey, hey! What are you, some kind of subscriber or something?
Fan?
Oh,
you listen to podcasts?
Hey!
Hey!
Got my movie pass in the mail today.
So did I.
I got mine a week ago. Yeah!
Stop opening your mail, everybody!
Chet doesn't open his mail.
No, I was told you don't open your mail. I want to do a series of podcasts where we sit down and go through our mail.
No, I told you I don't open my mail.
You said Jeff doesn't open his mail.
I cannot open my mail.
No, you never open pre-sorted standard. You throw that away right away.
Well, yeah, that.
If it says pre-sorted standard, it's
junk mail. I haven't opened any mail. Like, I had to open one thing because my debit card stopped working. They sent me a new one 2 months ago. No idea.
Did you apply for a movie pass?
Yeah.
It's in the mail.
Yeah, I'm not going to open that shit.
Well, then how are you expecting
you're never
going to
get the
car?
Fucking go to the movies.
I'm going
to
do it when we do a podcast and go through mail.
Good. Let's never do it. I don't want to.
Yeah, I'm never doing that podcast.
Good.
Midnight says, dude, Snoopy is the best.
What? Snoopy's pretty great.
I kept calling Snoopy Snoppy intentionally.
Oh. Should we read some least anticipated podcasts of the week?
Yeah.
No.
Or what? Oh, you want to read the? You want to read comments?
I was just giving a suggestion. From
the fat? No. We do whatever you want around here, Chet. Let's say 53 comments.
That's a lot of comments.
There was just a good one. Adam Brownbird says, it's like so soon. I'm super pumped.
Him and his wife took me out to dinner. Good people.
Oh.
That does make them good people.
That's an abuse of your fame?
No. They said, we want to come up and take you out to dinner. I said, drive on up from San Diego. Yeah.
Why didn't they take us out to dinner?
Because.
I often wonder that. I mean.
The fuck?
Yeah. Like, we're not even.
Sorry.
Jesus.
Octoblogity says, this is one of the more pleasant surprises I've ever experienced. Real, I wish I didn't live on the other side of the country.
Fix that shit.
Chet Wild says, 7:30 a.m. Up all night with the help of many, just finished.
Why do I?
I'm going to take a 60-minute nap in the event I don't wake. Just
I didn't
have
even fall asleep.
Mike Stanton zapped me through the CPAP machine.
Because he watches me.
He's watching me through. I hope you all like what we created.
Yeah.
You created that band?
Yep.
Chet created Fastball. Yeah.
I'm proud of you, Chet.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
I did a rare
tenacity.
Thing, made myself vulnerable, and took ownership of being proud about something. And then
I'm glad.
I am proud of your tenacity.
I'm glad you pitched this concert.
Because it's a Fastball. Strike three, Jeff.
Oh, shit.
I'm the king of comedy.
I guess we should end on that.
Like, yeah. Bernie Mac.
Hot fucking riffs from Jeff May to close out the show.
Burr, 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 burr.
Hey, September 20th, come to the next Unpops live show at the Alex Theater in Glendale, 7:30 p.m. Doors open, 8 p.m. the show starts. It's such a fun goddamn show.
Yeah, it is.
The crowds are great. The venue is dope. And the lineup next show is fucking amazing. Lori Kilmartin headlining.
She's a killer.
Greg Edwards, Josh Denny, Connor McSpadden,
fuck,
Keith Carey, Travis Clark, and me.
Oh, treat sack.
Treat sack. Bringing the jokes to the next Unpop show. So everybody come out to that. It's free. Go to eventbrite.com and search Unpops. And you can reserve a spot. What else does everyone else have to plug?
Mint on Cards, the second Friday of every month.
Edit that out, Brett.
Next show is October 13th. We got an amazing lineup. Just added John Ozelle on there. What?
Is he in LA now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Atif Myers, Danielle Perez, Dan St. Germain, TJ Chambers, and Christine Medrano. It's a hell of a lineup. Plus, we get drop-ins. This Thursday, I am doing a fundraiser on the 14th. Trekkies for Texas. At Flappers at 7:30 at the Yoo-Hoo Room. That's Thursday the 14th. I have tweeted and shared a lot of the links to get discounts to that ticket. Let's come see some nerdy comedy and raise some money to help people that are, you know, starving and in bad water.
Vanessa?
Thursday, September 14th, I'm doing Broke LA's Comedy and Story Poker at the Think Tank. Think Tank Art Gallery.
Pick a different show.
On September 16th, it's not actually a show, but the Catalyst Convention has me as one of their panelists for a panel about sex positivity and humor.
More like the Panelist Convention.
So come on by. It's called the I forgot the book. It's about sex and comedy, but it's me and Ken Cosby and
Slay.
No, he's actually his nephew.
I'm positively gonna have sex with
he's
some of the ladies.
He's not Uncle Bill. He's anti Uncle Bill.
You see, what my uncle did wasn't fully illegal at the time. Come see me with Vanessa Britton.
Chet, do you have anything to plug?
Fastball. You can watch the live stream if you donate $10 next Monday, the 18th. And check out the Indiegogo. You can get stuff signed by Jeff. How exciting is that?
Yeah,
it'll be signed in crayon.
By.
And by Vanessa.
That's actually not very
signed by Adam.
In Sharpies.
And by me and Connor and Danger.
I signed mine in Sharkies.
And then I'm going to be in Europe. I just decided yesterday I'm going to be in Europe. Norway the first 5 days and then London the second 5 days.
Chet, you don't need to plug your vacations.
I'm plugging my vacation because I mentioned Norway casually last podcast, and then somebody immediately emailed me about it watching the live stream. So I want to do comedy shows in Norway and in London. So if there are people that know about comedy that are suggestions, please let me know.
I told you to ask Maria Shahada.
I will.
That's all you need to do. Okay. She's huge out there now. All
right.
She is huge. She's the Ricky Gervais of London.
No shit.
Yeah.
No, she's funny.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point, yeah. I like, yeah, fuck Ricky
Most of
Gervais.
Her material is about being an atheist.
I wrote The Office and I don't believe in God.
God, I hate him so fucking much.
I just wear a black t-shirt.
Oh, I'm so cheeky when I host the award shows.
Oh, look, you all like me for some reason.
Oh, I'm going to say naughty jokes.
Look at me, I'm the guy that doesn't believe in God's me, darling.
Did you know this?
Terrible impression.
Hello, my name's Ricky Gervais.
I'm Richard Gervais. I used to be in music bands.
I don't believe in the Lord, I don't.
The Office is me show, it is. And now he's on the one with the midget.
The one with the guy with the... that guy?
Fuck Ricky Gervais.
I hate Ricky Gervais.
Steven Merchant's great, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's get the fuck out of here.
Fuck, yes.
Chet.
Oh, I'm so tired.
Say goodbye.
No.
Chet, say goodbye.
No.
Vanessa, say goodbye.
Goodbye on behalf of me and Chet.
Jeff, say goodbye.
You get the Chet Wild rookie card, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you. Bristol Street, bring a blood object to Bristol Street, I'm not home.